Greetings, EastEnders fans, and welcome to another episode of Albert Square After Dark, your weekly EastEnders podcast. This week, discussing the episodes broadcast between the 26th to the 29th of August, 2024. Hello there. I hope you're well. Really do. Ree, hello. How are you this week?
I'm good, thank you. Rob, how are you?
I'm very, very well. Because, allow me to boast for a second, soz, I was having a little look on the charts, on the Apple podcast charts, right? To get this. Mm-hmm. And don't get me wrong, all right, I know these things sort of shift around up and down all the time and they're quite easily alternated. But get this right.
Well, we're having it.
As of time of recording, okay, we're at number 27 on TV reviews. That's quite a wide Soz. Topic. And Soz. we are the top soap podcast. So thank you. I love you. Thank you. There we go. So I'm pleased about that.
Proud of that as well.
We are very proud. Not bad, considering that all we do really is just sit in our rooms and talk about EastEnders. It's not bad, is it?
Yeah, but that's what podcasts are anyway, Rob. Yeah. What are you on about? We're professionals.
I love a podcast.
Stop, come on.
I love a podcast.
We're professionals. We're really good at it. We prep ourselves.
Yeah, I was so prepped.
Well, we do. We watch EastEnders, don't we?
Yeah, that's it. That's all the prep we need.
What more prep do we need?
What more that we should watch the programme we talk about? What more do we need to do?
Exactly.
So, yeah, thank you very, very much, seriously. Really, really appreciate it. And we're not that far also from getting to 100,000 downloads on audio. So
we've got to celebrate that, Rob.
We will.
Come on.
Absolutely. We're really not that far away. A few episodes away from that.
We've got a celebration type thing that we think we're going to do together, haven't we?
Have we?
I'm not going to mention.
Oh, yes, yes,
you know
yes.
What I'm
yeah, I know what
about,
you mean.
Rob.
I know what you,
you
mean.
You know what I mean.
That's will be coming up next year. So, watch this.
And we might even do a little special episode if we do
we
that.
We might do. Oh, the
world's
our oyster.
There's an idea. World's our lobster.
Yeah. Stay tuned for that. Right, okay. Let's talk about this week's EastEnders. What a week, right? Mm-hmm. I have a feeling that I might have mentioned something last week about, you know, the summer lull. It's gone, all right? It's gone completely. That doesn't exist anymore.
It's not been that much of a lull.
It's not been that
quiet. Last week, there was a little bit, but...
Yeah,
I mean,
we're not talking about the days...
We said it last week, but Sonia still got arrested for murder.
Yeah,
like,
so it
really
wasn't exactly
quiet.
Quiet.
But,
it's not like the days when Whitney was becoming an international pop star. You know, it's those days have gone. In the middle
Whatever
of summer,
happened to that anyway?
Oh, God knows. In the middle of summer these days, they have a deadly crush at Peggy's, which we will be discussing in great detail later. It's been a massive, massive week. But first of all, we're going to talk about George and his new brothers. And my God, that looks to be heart-wrenching. So I think we better get on with it, don't you?
Yeah, in this week's Albert Square After Dark.
Right, let's kick off this mammoth week. We're talking about George and the arrival of Kojo and Kobina. So George receives a phone call from Angela saying that his brothers are sort of in town and he wants to meet them. Now, we'd had sort of word that Kojo was going to be autistic. And mm-hmm. I was kind of wondering how they were going to sort of do that. Now I am absolutely convinced that this character has been created purely to break my heart. There is no other reason for him to be there other than to make me sad. I can guarantee.
Yeah,
he's
very
sweet.
Yeah.
Jeez. I mean, what a performance as well. I don't know if the actor's autistic as well, but I mean, I thought that whole portrayal was amazing. I really, really did.
I believed that he's autistic as well in real life. I don't know if that's because he is or he's done such a good job.
Yeah, I know. It was
maybe
just...
a bit of both, but he's really...
Yeah, I mean, I can't wait to sort of see what they do with this now, with this character. I don't know how long they're planning on keeping him around for. I don't know if he's a new regular character, whether he's a guest character. If he's a guest character, that suggests that I really am going to get brokenhearted because that means something horrible. That means something horrible is going to happen to him.
No,
and I
don't
can't
say
cope
that.
With that. No. Can't cope with that. So
you might have a point there.
Yeah, I know. Oh, I'm scared. Angela arrives with the two brothers. Now, there was a bit of confusion here, wasn't there? Because George was under the impression that they knew everything that had gone on.
Yeah,
and
that's
I thought that... I don't know quite what happened here. Did Angela tell him that? Or did he get it confused? Or what?
I think he said, oh, they know everything. But then obviously didn't realise that they didn't quite know everything. Mm. So I think Angela's saying they know everything about the attack, but they obviously didn't realise that George was there and witnessed it.
Yeah, so Angela's literally sat there... Angela's literally sat there going like, what are you telling them this for? I tried to protect you from this.
I didn't tell him that bit, George.
But George kind of blurts it out that he was there.
Yeah.
I think because he was grateful that they turned up knowing what he thought they knew. So he was able to just talk about it freely. And that was like a great relief to him, wasn't it? But no, they didn't know about that. So Gabina is not happy. In fact, he's pretty damn furious about the whole thing, which I thought was, I mean, I get it. But at the same time, I was like, he was just a kid when this was happening.
Yeah, and it was.
How is a kid his age supposed to do anything to stop a group of racist thugs?
Well, there's so much context behind it. It's not just that he stood there and didn't stop him. Like, he were a kid. Even if you were a kid, you probably wouldn't want to get involved in that. Let's be honest. You'd still be a bit like, whoa, that's intense.
Yeah, and let's be real here. So if a black guy is getting attacked to the point of death by a group of racist
thugs. The colour of his skin is the reason he's being attacked.
Exactly. The last thing that's going to stop that attack from happening is a younger black kid coming up and saying, can you stop that, please? That was never going to happen. So I did think that Kabina was being... I get it, don't get me wrong, because any opportunity that you think could have been grasped at to prevent that from happening, you would want to have been grasped. So I get
it. And it's
his
immediate reaction as well to hearing it. But saying that, oh, well, you were 15 and you're a man and all that. We're like, oh.
I thought that was interesting that he was kind of like, well,
in Ghana, you consider you a man. Yeah.
Which I thought that was interesting that they sort of brought that up. But either way, they sort of leave.
Mm-hmm.
But then, amongst all of the kind of chaos of the crush, which we'll talk about later, Kojo has sort of wandered off, and he's sort of wandering around the square with all these blue lights flashing around and everything. So I can imagine how disorientation that would have been for him. And he ends up in the cafe. What we discover at this point is that he's rather fond of cars. He loves a taxi, but he loves cars in general. I think the fact that he was coming to London... and so this is the car of London, and he just sort of really adored having that in his hands. Oh, honest to God, it was so heartwarming. It really was. Go on.
And I learned some really genuinely interesting facts about taxis.
Like,
I never knew that about the extra height for a boat.
I thought that's fascinating. I like that a lot. Yeah, genuinely, and it makes sense as well, doesn't it? It makes perfect sense. Yeah.
And I've never actually thought about the fact that the ceiling's higher in a taxi until he said it. Like, oh yeah.
Can I
they
say
are way higher?
You can say what I thought they were for.
What? Go on. What?
I thought because they're public transport, I thought it was just to accommodate really tall people.
Do you know what? I mean, that'd be fair enough though as well, wouldn't it? But
you know, like some 7 foot giant who needs a lift around London. I'll get in that taxi. That can help. Yeah, your brother.
Your brother
would fit in a London taxi. That's what I thought.
I think he'd struggle actually, to be fair.
That's what I thought they were for, to accommodate people like your big tall brother. That's what I thought it was for. Thanks for the education, Kojo. I appreciate that.
You.
I like that a lot. In fact, the next time I go into a black cab, I might put a hat on just so it's getting its use.
Put a top hat on. Just to make sure and just go, hang on.
Well, see, it works. So Martin accidentally sort of bumps into him and like breaks. Well, doesn't really break it. I think he just kind of just scuffs the taxi or something, doesn't it?
I thought he just picked it up, and Kojo just freaked out that someone else were touching it. That's what I assumed, anyway.
I think it was broken because George was sort of looking at it and go, "Well, it's all right, we can fix that," you know. So I think it kind of fell off a table or something, didn't it? And maybe like one of the little toy wing mirrors or something came off it or something, or it got scratched. And sort of George's call to the calf, and I then think that he really becomes aware of what exactly he's dealing with here. And they have such a nice conversation at that moment where it's sort of like listening to how Kojo has interpreted the situation that he's been told about, talking about anger. And then they start talking about like how hard things are, and like Kojo then starts comparing it to his autism, and he's sort of like, yeah, I understand you finding that hard because I find life hard as well. And it's just that basic sort of like that basic level of just sort of looking at life and him just verbalizing it like that. I thought it was really, really, really well done and really well written.
Well, because Kojo maybe doesn't have these standards that Kabina has, and he sees it almost more humanly rather than these expectations that have been put on somebody.
Yeah.
So he said, well, yeah, I'd struggle in that situation. And actually, that's a good way for him to maybe have described it to Kabina and go, would you have expected Kojo to have done that? Because, you know, not
Yeah, or
everyone
would
is
you
going
have
to
done that?
behave that way.
Yeah,
Well, he
exactly.
claims that he would, with the sounds of it.
Of course you
I
would.
wonder if he got, you know, like when the father died, I wonder how old Kabina was and whether he was, you know what I mean? Like maybe he then was compelled to become the man of the family at a young age or
Yeah, I've
something.
got a feeling they did say what the age kind of differences
Oh,
were
did
between them,
they?
but I think they might have done that. I can't remember what it was. I can't remember
No.
who's the oldest out of all three of them.
George is the eldest,
George is the oldest,
definitely.
so yeah,
Yeah.
that's why they would have sort of expected him to do something
That's
about it,
what,
I think,
yeah.
especially as he's a boxer, you know.
Yeah.
So Kojo's taken back to the Vic and sort of stays the night there, and they get in touch with Kabina. And Big Kabina's obviously not thrilled with the idea that Kojo A just wandered off and B has ended up back with George, which is sort of the last place that he wanted to be. Now, there was an interesting part here where George discovers bruises on Kojo's arms. Now, what is your thinking about? Because obviously it's kind of revealed later that this is because of the. If it is. This, if we are to take the entirety of what has happened at face value, and that is the truth of the situation, I thought that was so well done. If that's the truth.
I know what you mean because it were almost explained away too quickly, and why be brought up at
It's
all if it
yeah,
is
it's
just
one of
that.
two things. Either because I don't know if I trust Kabina quite yet. I don't know. I feel like there's something a little
You
bit
said
off about
that, and
him.
I weren't feeling that. Then you said it and made me go, oh, actually, I can kind of see that now you've said
I
it.
don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not quite sure about it yet. But if the whole point of that bruises thing was to then to sort of have that moment later where George is trying to stop Kojo from freaking out and is holding him in exactly the same place and then realizes, I thought that was really, really well done. And if it is just that, then fair play. Or whether that, but I'm not sure whether that moment was to sort of say, George to sort of go, oh, I see. I can see how these bruises would arrive here. I'll stop thinking that that is what's going on now, then. So I don't know if I believe him or not yet. But if it was that, then that was really cleverly done, I thought. So.
I don't know, the only thing that's striking me with Kabina as odd, if I'm honest, but then again, how else would you write this into the story, is that he was so willing to allow George to take Kojo in when somebody's on the spectrum in the way that Kojo is. You would think that that would be quite difficult for him to, because George is a stranger. Yeah, he stayed for one night, but then for your brother who you've travelled here with to completely leave you and leave you in a country that you're not overly familiar with and loads of people that you don't know. I don't know. That was the oddest thing to me, that he just went, yeah, all right, I'll leave him here and I'll go. See you later.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was more the case of like what we were led to believe was that Kabina was kind of mentally exhausted with everything because Kojo is intense to look after. And I think that it was kind of like, this is my only opportunity to sort of have a moment where I can go sort
Have a
our lives
break.
out. Not so much even have a break. I mean, yes, have a break, but also I think the implication was that Kabina has got like, I've got stuff to do. All right, I need to sort out our lives. I need to sort out where we're moving to and what we're living and where we're living and all that kind of thing. So I think he was just grateful for the opportunity to do that, and also I think it was an opportunity for him to sort of say to George, okay, let's give this brotherly thing a go and let's see how this is going to work out. The thing that wound me up on social media was everybody, like, well, not everybody, because I think actually Kojo really resonated with a lot of viewers. Because I did a tweet and it got like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of likes about like how he was coming across and how he was being betrayed. But then, of course, you get the other side of the internet who will say things like, "Oh, as if an autistic person would do that," and as if all autistic people are exactly the same. It's called a spectrum for a reason. You can't say as if an or you can't say as if
Any
a or
autistic
any autistic
person.
person would do that,
Yeah. It's like
because
everyone's different,
guess
full
what?
stop, whether you're autistic, ADHD, or whatever, everyone's different. Yeah.
The fact that we've got Ollie and Kojo in the same
What were they were
place,
specifically saying it about? Do you remember?
oh, just not
Just like him
not
hitting himself on his head and what?
yeah
Because
well,
you don't
maybe,
see
but
that.
yeah, or just sort of making random sort of wide statements. Well, I don't believe that's how autistic people would act. Why? What evidence have you got to why? What have you got? What have you got to say that that's not right? Okay. So like you said, because it was they've got if they're gonna betray a character like this, they've got to do it right. They've got to do it properly. They've got to research it. They've got to talk to people. They've
I
got
think they
to.
did it really well,
I thought they did it
actually. I think
fantastically.
that I was actually very impressed, if
Yeah.
I'm honest with it.
So
I
was
weren't
I. I thought
expecting
it
it to be
was.
that well done.
No, I thought it was so perfectly well done. I mean, I think what happens is that you. The Kojo was written by the same writer all of this week. It was Johnny O'Neill who wrote those second pair of episodes at the end of the week. So we've only really seen, I'm not saying that different writers will make it, will muss it up some part of the way, but I think what you get with different writers tackling the same characters is different interpretations.
Yeah.
I think what that then opens the chance up to is for viewers to go, well, that's wrong because a different writer has written it in a different way. So that's the sort of risks you run with a character like this, but you've got to just sort of sit back and say, trust me, they know what they're doing, all right? Otherwise they wouldn't have introduced this character.
I was going to say, but also the actor will know the character well enough now to maybe tweak it slightly and go, well, actually, you know, you've written it in this way, but I'm going to perform it in that way because
I thought it was perfectly done. I really did. I thought the performance was absolutely spot on. It was absolutely heartbreaking. It was emotional and a bit scary in places as well, because you sort of think, what have you got yourself into here, George?
This is what I was going to mention, because obviously staying in the house with everyone, and I mean, well, above the Queen Vic, you've got Elaine there, Anna, Ollie, Annie, Linda.
Yeah. Can we say Paul Linda? Poor Linda. No wonder the poor woman drinks. She keeps having these random people move into her house. It's
so true, isn't it?
Bless her. No wonder she drinks.
And, yeah, but it's a big change for Ollie.
Yeah.
Who doesn't like change.
Yeah.
But then I'm wondering if actually they were going to see them bond, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I think we might. I think we might, because there was that little moment between them at the kitchen table. It wasn't anything huge, but it was it was that sort of moment of recognition from Ollie, who then just quickly left, who it was like, well, you could deal with that, see you later, and then just left the kitchen. But I think there might be that sort of moment between Kojo and Ollie at some point. I'd be interested to sort of see that. But yeah, Kojo's going to be staying around for a little bit. I don't know how this is going to go.
I don't even want to call it an aggressive side. How do we call, you know, how he reacts?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I know what you mean.
It's not aggressive.
It's aggressive towards himself, isn't it? It's sort of outburst. It's
but
outburst,
that's a lot
isn't
for,
it?
You know, Annie and Ollie to potentially witness.
It is, yeah. Or
if George isn't there and something happens, is Elaine going to be able to cope?
Yeah, I don't think George has thought this through fully, because at the moment, I think he was just like, it's fine. He'll stay here for a bit. I'll take him to the garage and show him some cars and he'll be fine and happy. And it's like, actually, you've just seen him absolutely freak out because the smoke alarm accidentally went off, and he gets he's got, you know, his food's got to be just right. You have taken on a lot here, George, with very little knowledge about what you're doing. Like, just, you know, Ollie and Kojo, I think, are very different people.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like there's different, again, spectrum. They're on different points of the spectrum. It's all right. Because I don't think you don't see Ollie sort of lashing out and hitting himself, do you?
No.
He's got to do the headphone thing, and he's got to sort of have a very set routine. But Kojo's a very different kettle of fish. So
maybe that's because he's learned coping mechanisms, being from a Western side of the world. Coping mechanisms. Maybe Ollie can teach him some.
Yeah.
Maybe he might start picking some. It'd be interesting if they did.
It's going to be really, really interesting to sort of see where this goes. I'm fascinated by this. I really am. And it's another side of this George storyline that has been going on for like since about January now. We've sort of been discovering sort of George's heritage and George's relatives and sort of meeting these people. And I'm really interested to sort of watch this next chapter and sort of see how this plays out.
Yeah, same.
Really well done. Really, really, really well done. Right, ladies and gents, let's move on to the next story. On to the six now. And this is sort of the warm-up, the calm before the storm of next week. I've seen on the grapevine, big things are kicking off next week. Whoppers. A whopper of the stuff is coming next week. We're in September next week. And September is traditionally when the wheels of motion towards the madness of the festive season starts to sort of go into motion. So next week looks to be pretty mammoth. But this week, Bernie has moved her attentions onto Sharon. Because Bernie's kind of on her own with this now, isn't she? She thought she had Dean support. And now she's sort of just like a puppet without strings. She's sort of like, well, what do I do now? So she kind of decides, oh, well, never mind, Linda. I'll just move directly onto Sharon and start sending Sharon these messages.
Yeah. Oh, I think she's obviously got her little theory, hasn't she, that Linda's obviously just covering from a friend and it's all Sharon. And
I mean,
she initially
it does make
thought
sense.
Sharon as well, didn't she? From the start, she thought it was Sharon.
She's basically been accusing Sharon of this all the way throughout. Yeah. I have a feeling after this week, Bernie ain't going to be getting that rent that she was promised. I don't think that's going to happen.
Oh,
somehow.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. Where's she going to live then?
I don't think that's going to happen somehow. Unless Sharon's already paid for it.
That'd be well funny if she has, but you're not getting that back.
Lol.
Cheers, Sharon.
So Sharon gets this text message and then sort of confides in Kathy, and they both agree that Linda needs to just, whatever happens, Linda just needs to stay off the booze, stay calm, and they'll sort of deal with it. But the fact that these messages have now moved on to Sharon, I think Kathy's sort of like, well, am I next, or are the rest of the six next? Like, what? How is this going to play out? So during the crush, everyone sort of, a lot of people sort of take respite at the caff. So the caff's quite busy, and Bernie's burner phone slips out of her pocket, and Priya starts waving it around and taking the piss out of the fact that it's a brick and that it's a pay-as-you-go contract. She's got a point. When was the last time when did you last have a pay-as-you-go phone? I didn't even know that you could still get them.
There's no point in having pay as you go
No.
anyway. It's cheap
Cheaper
enough to
to...
get monthly
Yeah.
roaming these
The only
days.
reason you would get a pay-as-you-go phone is if you want to send abusive messages to somebody, I think.
Well, exactly. Yeah, no,
I think
exactly.
so.
Yeah.
And it
She didn't
certainly...
even need to mention it with pay as you go. She could have just said,
No.
this is a different contract phone I've
Yeah.
got to ring
I've
my
got two
mum. But
phones.
yeah.
Yeah, I've got two
Yeah.
phones. Leave me alone. But yeah, she doesn't cover it very well. And that instantly
No.
sort of sets Kathy's spidey senses tingling. And so she later has a conversation with Bernie about, like, so I didn't know you had two phones. Like, casual Kathy.
She did
Detective
really
Sherlock.
well, didn't she,
Oh, she's
actually?
Sherlock Kathy.
Yeah.
She sort of drops into the conversation. And then Bernie instantly sort of turns around to her and goes, so do you think that Sharon might have killed Keanu? Just sort of tries to sort of. I genuinely think that Bernie thought she was being subtle. I think that she genuinely thought Kathy will never work out my involvement through this conversation whatsoever.
Yeah, but also, Bernie had no reason to think that Kathy'd know about the
No, that's
texts, does
true.
she?
That's true.
So why
No.
wouldn't she have said it? Because
That's
she,
true.
her and Kathy get on, don't they?
Yeah, that's true. Apart from when she burns the sausage rolls, then they don't get on. Kathy tells her
Well,
off then.
fair enough.
So. Armed with this information, Kathy goes and tells Sharon what she has discovered. And then when Linda returns from her little breakaway, honestly, when Linda came back, I was like, why would you ever return to Wolford once you've left? Because she came back having had all of these problems in Wolford, went away for a bit, had no problems, comes back, and she actually says, well, I've come back to a crush, and you're now getting messages. Why
Then
would I?
no
Why
one,
did I
come on,
return?
Rob. No one learns, do they?
No.
Until maybe we, I mean, it's took Whitney all this time to
I
come. Maybe we
know,
should
to
just
get out
leave
of there.
Albert
Yeah.
Square, actually,
Honestly, if
and
you
have a
lived in Albert
fresh
Square,
start.
you would never you would if you lived in Albert Square, you wouldn't leave the house during Christmas, would you? No matter
No,
what was kicking off. I don't care what
absolutely
that
not.
I don't care what all those explosions or everything are outside. I am not setting foot out of this
No.
house until Boxing Day. It's not happening.
Yeah,
No.
definitely.
You never learn, do they? Bless them. So Linda now knows, so they decide to confront Bernie with it later. And Bernie is still carrying around both phones. See, this is the other thing. I'd be sort of leaving I'd be leaving the burner phone in somewhere in like in a drawer or something
Or at
until I
least
needed
turning it
it.
off until
Yeah,
you need it or somebody.
at least, because I was really surprised when Sharon just rang
Yeah, when it had been private numbered as well,
Yeah,
but anyway.
well, that has it. What I was more thinking of the fact that she'd just been so careless with it, and what was she expecting? Well, if she rings it, I just won't answer.
Yeah. Well,
Criminal mastermind that Bernie is.
well,
So
bless
the
her.
phone rings, and Bernie's like, oh, right, well, yeah, now you know it's me. But then Sharon and Linda do a really bad job of convincing Bernie what otherwise from what
Well,
she's
Linda
thinking.
doesn't
Well,
help,
Linda
does
does.
she?
Linda doesn't say a word.
Sharon
Sharon's
was shit
got,
out. I'm not gonna
yeah,
lie. Even I
she
was
was.
convinced by Sharon, and
Yeah.
then Linda's sat there like,
Yeah, Linda sat there like a rabbit in headlights, not
yeah.
saying a word, even when Bernie turns around to her and literally says, go on then, you'll go, convince me. And she's like,
Look me in the
look me
eyes,
in the eye, she can't
Linda.
do that. I don't know why
No.
she couldn't do that, because Sharon isn't the killer. So what does she have to hide? She was just like, yeah, I can look you in the eyes and say that Sharon didn't
Because.
kill Keanu. I can
Well,
do
because
that.
she knows that she did it, so she didn't want to
Yeah, I
look her in the
know.
eyes at all, did
I
she? That's
know, I
why.
know.
But I know what
See,
you're saying. If
I'd
you'd
be
have
much
just
better
put
in this
yourself in the
situation.
mindset of, well, I'm just telling a lie about Sharon, not
Yeah.
killing him, not me, then yeah.
You've got to act, Linda. Come on. You're
Makes you
played by a good
wonder how she.
actress.
It makes you wonder how she's going to get on next week as well if she can't talk to Bernie in
I'm
Sharon's
telling
living
you,
room.
I will talk about theories about what's going to happen next week in a moment,
Okay.
because I've got a few. I have got a few.
Ooh,
And they're not
okay.
spoilers, by the way. They're not spoilers. They are just
Just
theories, okay?
theories, yeah.
Just theories. But Bernie, because of Linda's crap performance, basically,
Yeah.
Bernie's like, well, clearly Sharon did it then. So later on, she's just paints murderer all over Sharon's door and then throws paint at Sharon.
Sorry. I loved that. I thought that were amazing.
I love it when Sharon gets stuff thrown at
Yeah.
her.
I thought it were brilliant. I want to know where she got the paint from.
I don't B&Q. I don't know. What was it?
B&Q.
Her shed.
I don't, yeah, but I would just think in my brain, I'm thinking Bernie's really skint. Like, has she gone on Facebook Marketplace or, you know, Walford Facebook group and said, has anyone got
Maybe.
any spare red paint going? And, you know, I
Maybe,
need to go and
maybe.
throw it on Sharon Watts and everyone like, yeah,
Maybe.
here, have it, have it.
And sort of, well, yeah, and then she sort of, so she's painted the door, she's chucked paint over Sharon, and then she starts decreeing to the square like some sort of demented town crier that
Loved
Sharon
it.
Watts is a murderer, and all the truth will come out next week, and then storms off, and then the final duff duff of the week is sort of the
And
rest
all
of
the
the six,
six,
all the
yeah.
six sort of staring out and like really worried, like looking at each other like, shit, what are we gonna do now? Really, really nice exit to the week. So the trial is next week. This seems to be the, they built it up now to
Okay.
be the big one, which is weird because this isn't necessarily, it's not like none of them currently are legally in the frame for any of this, but the
No.
situation has sort of disintegrated so badly that a wrong word is going to just absolutely wreck everything at this trial, isn't it? So give us your theories. How do you think this is going to play out?
The only thing I can think is that Bernie's going to be at the court shouting the odds, saying it's Sharon, probably get removed from the court, if I'm honest with you.
Yeah.
Will that have any impact on how the trial goes, though? I'm not sure. Because it's a trial for Dean, not any
Yeah.
of the six. Is he going to get off? Is there going to be insufficient evidence?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. I kind of hope not, because I don't know where else they can take Dean as a character now, to be
Yeah, I know
honest.
what you mean.
There's apparently twists and turns coming next week. So I mean, if it's going to happen at any time. Shirley, maybe we might get a Shirley appearance
Oh,
next
yeah,
week.
I didn't think of
Maybe,
that. Oh, don't get my.
maybe.
Do you know
I
what? I've
know,
kind of just
I
accepted.
know.
I'm just kind of like, oh, she's not
She's
coming back.
gone.
She would have
She's
come back
never.
by
She's
now.
left completely.
Well, you'd have thought she'd have come back for Jade or something if she were
Yeah,
going to.
yeah.
So,
So, but it's a possible. It's a possible. She
yeah, it's a
might return
possibility.
next week. My guess at the end of the week is that Sharon's going to get arrested.
Yeah,
I think
but
Linda. I think Linda is going to go to pieces. Linda's going to go to
I thought
pieces
this, but
and.
how would Sharon get arrested just separate to the trial then? Somehow they'll find evidence on Sharon or something.
Yeah, maybe I
That's
did.
what
The
I mean.
week's not.
How
Yeah, I
would she
don't
get
know.
arrested? What evidence would they have?
I
Bernie
mean, I
had a
just.
point of why did you not report these messages to the police then?
Well, Bernie presumably is going to be on the stand at some point, isn't she?
I don't.
Is she
Why
not?
would she? I don't know. Is
Because
she
they can,
keen?
you know, she's been making accusations as well, so they're going to be, and she's been visiting Dean as well, so they're going to have that on record. So
Yeah,
are
but
they
why
going to?
would they bring her up? I don't
I don't
understand why
know.
they'd bring
Like, it's just
Bernie.
in defense of Dean or something. I don't know. The defense person might want,
Interesting.
the
Oh,
defense barrister
interesting.
might
Yeah,
want to talk to
okay.
Bernie. Because presumably, a
Yeah.
defense barrister is going to have to talk to witnesses that are talking in favor of Dean. And arguably, they're few and far between. So, again,
That's
which makes
true.
me wonder
And
if that's why we might get a Shirley.
getting the
Yeah, yeah,
victim's
yeah.
sister up on the stand would be a good way of
Yes.
going. Even the sister don't
Even
believe
the
it's him.
sister
Oh, yeah,
doesn't
you
think
might have
it's
a
him.
point there then.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So then Bernie just goes off and tells them everything that she knows.
Sharon, yeah.
I don't, and I, yeah. And then with it being twists and turns, I think something else big is going to get revealed at some point during the trial. And then somehow Sharon's going to end up arrested at the end of the week. And then she's going to go to a cell. And I think also, well, I
You know
do
what you're
think,
gonna.
I
Go
do
on.
wonder if the fact that murderer was written on her door, there's one character who's very famous for for having the word murderer screamed at them, especially with the word Watts thrown in there as well. Sharon Watts, murderer. So I wonder if there's a link to that. Is that the return? You
I
know,
think, I mean, that'd be great. I'm here for it, but
we'll see.
maybe
We will
though.
see. Big stuff to kick off next week. I cannot wait. Bring it on. Right, before we get to the crush, we've got to have a brief little discussion about the fabulous Priya. So, brief little discussion on Priya now. Priya's job hunting. She needs a job. And so she's sort of, in her Priya-type way, sort of displaying her charm all over the square, taking advantage of the crush, sort of walks into the taxi office and goes, well, you need help.
Yep.
Just, I mean, I say this every single week. I love her so
I love her
much.
as well. I
She
love her.
is just a sensation.
But do you know what, with her? At least what you see is what you get. Because she could have
Totally.
gone in and said, oh, do you need a hand? Here, let me help you out, you know,
Yeah.
and then tried to sneak away in that way after. But instead, she's like, you got a crush going on. I need a job. Let's call it a trial. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. She's
Why not?
just she knows what she wants and she knows what she wants to say, and it just happens that way. And also, I think because you come across as that sort of person, you know for a fact there's no point. It's pointless trying to pretend anything else because people will see right through it
True.
anyway. So you just get on with it,
Yeah.
don't you? Oh, she's great. And I can I just say I put out a tweet on the Albert Square After Dark podcast on Twitter.
Yes.
If you think I'm calling it X,
Yes.
you've got another thing coming. Saying why is, with just a picture of Priya and saying why is she the best new character in years? I did not expect the reaction I got. All right, I got nearly so far as of time of recording, I'm at nearly 800 likes, about 50 odd retweets. People just filling the comment section were saying, "Oh, absolutely, she's the best. Love her character. Love her one-liners. She's the greatest. I agree. She's a queen." Just absolutely. Like so many comments just saying how much they love Priya. So, and people saying, we want more. We want more Priya. Like, we need more Priya. I
That'd be
think,
my only thing is
yeah,
I want
I want
more.
more. Give us more Priya. But the thing about Priya is that she is just so versatile as a character, isn't she? She's got the bitchiness of Janine, but she is all, and she could go down that route quite happily and it wouldn't feel
Very
out of,
easily.
and it wouldn't feel out of character whatsoever. And she'd
No.
do it and she'd be fantastic. But she's also a great comedy character.
Yeah, she is very.
She's also sexy enough to sort of be a vixen type character.
She's done all these things already when you're saying
Yeah,
it, aren't she?
she's only been there about a
Yeah.
year. She's just great. I love
You know
her.
what? Do you know what I do want to see from Priya, though? I
Go
love
on.
all of this, but I would love to see her form a genuine friendship with somebody and
Yes.
see a bit of that softer side to her.
Yeah,
Because
yeah,
she's
yeah.
very much putting on a front a lot of the time and this is the prayer that you're getting. But like
Yeah.
her and Kat had a few little moments, and I think they could make quite a nice little friendship, actually.
They could. I agree with that. However, what I also want from Priya is a feud.
Yeah, true.
And the person that I want to have the feud with is Stacey, because she's
Well,
got this on and off thing going on with Martin, hasn't she?
yeah,
So
yeah.
I want her, because when they first met, they instantly hated each other, and they've
That's what I was
sort
just
of,
about to say. They've already
yeah.
got that little bit of feud going on,
Yeah.
which should make it even better, though. She made friends with Kat as well, though, because that had
Yeah.
really pissed
Mess.
Stacey off
Yeah, it
as well,
really
wouldn't
would. Yeah,
it?
yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, so please, I mean, you need someone like, even if it's just a comedy feud, all right? Something to just keep us entertained. Like, someone like Priya needs an enemy that she can just
Yeah,
enjoy
definitely.
winding up, because Priya
But
loves
it's not
causing.
niche as well,
Yeah, so
because.
not a dark character that's for her to have a feud with, but somebody that actually the audience can take sides. One of those sorts of feuds, you know? Yeah, she needs that. She desperately needs that. But yeah, I absolutely love Priya so much. And she, not only is she kind of getting a few shifts at the taxi office, but she also manages to sort of bluff her way into getting shifts at the restaurant,
Oh,
because
yes.
she talks to Zach Grant, because she's basically living with Zach at the moment. A couple of people jumped on the Zach and Priya thing. What do we think?
Yeah, I did wonder that myself, actually, if that would come in next. I was debating it.
He
I
likes a
don't
troublesome
know,
woman.
though. That is true. You could see it happening if they'd had a drink or two very
Yeah.
easily, couldn't you?
Yeah, very easily. And let's be honest,
And then that might. Well,
Zach
yeah,
will sleep with
sleeps.
anybody.
Yeah.
So,
And that'd throw maybe a bit of a ruckus between Zach and Martin because I think Martin does fancy her. Maybe he doesn't now that she's been living there, but
Yeah, maybe he's
I'd
looked
put
at the
off
state of
now.
the maybe he's looked at the state of all the washing up and everything, and just like, no, I don't think I could live with that. But she basically has convinced Ravi to give her a little bit of a trial at the restaurant as well, seeing as though he didn't mention the fact that Nugget was nearly crushed to death at the club. So I think you at least owe me a few shifts to get myself back on my feet, seeing as though you also chucked me out of the house I live in. Yeah, is that fair? Yeah, thanks. So where do we think this is going to work out at the restaurant? Ultimately, I kind of want to see Priya and Ravi back together, I think, don't
I was
you? Is
just
that like the
thinking that
ultimate end
though.
game? Is that end goals?
I'd like that, but maybe you're right. Maybe Zach. I think I could see Zach and Priya getting drunk, having a
Yeah.
one-nighter. That'd throw something in with the Zach and Ravi's friendship as well.
Yeah. But then I also kind of don't want Priya to be grounded just yet by a relationship. I want her sort
That's
of
true.
having the ability to, because the problem is when you put somebody with somebody, very often it kind of clips their wings a little bit. And I kind of want Priya to be able to just be going around everywhere, just causing Priya type carnage.
Causing chaos. Yeah,
Yeah,
true.
yeah. So, yeah, I mean, let's see, just see where it goes and just sit back and enjoy the majesty of Priya Nandrahart. Right, we're on to the big story of the week now, the crush. Right, ladies and gentlemen, settle in, sit down, make yourself comfortable as we now turn to Ree for her lecture on club capacity and health and safety. Because
Hi,
you,
luckily you have an expert
yes,
here.
because you basically own your own.
Well, I do own a bar. Yes, I
Peggy's
own
in
a
your
bar.
Peggy's in your bar are practically the same sort of setup, aren't they?
Well, do you know what,
It's far
actually? They
off.
are incredibly similar. We're a late night bar.
Yep.
I would say we're cheap and northern, and
Yes.
Peggy's is
Expensive and southern.
bougie and expensive.
Yeah, and southern. Yeah.
We're cheap and cheerful.
Yes. It's
But the
great, your
actual
bar. I've left your
setup.
bar hammered before. It's great. I love your bar.
Yes, it is. It's okay, isn't it?
Yeah.
But they are. It is funny because I always think, even a little bit like the layout's kind of similar,
Yeah,
except
it
their
is.
bar's in a round,
Yeah,
but
it
ours is
is.
like a U shape. So
Yes.
yeah, I've often said things to you as well before, and I'm like, oh, you wouldn't do that in a bar, or
Yeah,
so
you do.
yes,
Yeah,
this is
yeah.
the perfect storyline for
There you
me
go.
anyway.
So, talk
Get
to
my
me.
nerd on.
Yeah, get your nerd on, push your glasses up your nose, and talk to me about club capacity and how that all works and the setting. So let's say at your bar, you're setting up for an event, which I'm assuming you have quite fairly often, like themed nights and all that kind of thing. And you've got to sell tickets for it because it's kind of quite an exclusive night. So what goes into the preparation of this? Settle down, everybody. This is going to be absolutely
God, you're putting me
this is
so on
going to
the
be
spot now,
this
Rob. Come
is going
on.
to be absolutely absorbing and fascinating. Right, go on, Ree.
Well,
Tell us all
I
about
can
it.
talk to you about the club capacity side of things. Like, event management is a different kettle of fish, but I mean, you wouldn't sell more tickets than you're allowed in,
No,
obviously. But we
because
know that's where all the sweat got.
you know what your capacity is, right
You'd
off.
be double checking as well throughout the
Yep.
day, like how many tickets you've sold on the day, like especially with how late on they seem to be selling their tickets. But let's say you've got tickets and you're letting people in on the door as well. You get a
Yep.
bit a few
Got
some
a little
clickers
ticker,
involved with
get a
your
clicker.
doorman.
That's what the clickers are for, people. That's what the clickers
That's
are
what they're
for.
for.
Let it here
One in, one
first.
out, and all that jazz.
Yep.
We are quite OTT with ours. We have like systems that our customers don't even know about, where we
Really?
try and direct people to a different side of the venue if we think a
Ah.
particular side's getting quite full. So we call them like, for us, we call it bar one, two, and three, and we'll say to our customers, "Oh, go around to that side of the bar. You won't have to queue for as long." But really, we're trying to control the flow of the venue. So like for us, we have a capacity of 280. We
Right.
try to operate on a comfort capacity of
Oh,
250.
nice.
Yeah,
Yes.
you see.
Yes. We had no mention of comfort capacities this week in EastEnders, and I can guarantee very little comfort was involved.
They went over that early on, didn't
Didn't they
they?
just? Didn't they just? So, the crush that's been sort of spoken about on social media, if you managed to get to this point without knowing this was going to happen, you'd have had a fun time this week, because it's fair play to that. Well, straight off the bat, I want to say about this. I thought it was a very different sort of stunty type thing, isn't it? I thought, I can't remember a time a soap has ever done anything like this. I thought it was filmed incredibly well. I want to do a shout out to Paul Copeland, who is this week's director. I thought the whole week was really, really well done, and the crush and everything was really, really well filmed. I thought the claustrophobia and sort of the terror of that situation really came across. It was really intense scenes in places, wasn't it?
Yeah, you could feel. It's weird. I was scared for them. I could
Yeah.
feel, especially like when Bobby got up on the bar and he were
Yeah.
panicking. You could
Oh,
feel it.
that little moment between Bobby and
And
Freddie, I adored. That was so sweet.
bless him. He just
Yeah.
picked him up, didn't he? And sat him on
Plonked him on the
bar,
bar.
cute
Oh,
together,
bless
aren't they,
them.
them
They
two?
are. They are.
But yeah, it was. And even down to like the music that were playing in the background and
Yeah, that
stuff. But
grows
oh my God,
intensity.
you
Yeah.
know what? My geekiness is going to come out as we talk about this because there's so many areas where they've gone wrong.
Is
Well,
it? Is
obviously.
it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
I
setting
mean,
off the fire alarm, you don't do
well, but
that.
yeah, so why did
In
Penny
these
do that?
situations, you
Why
don't
did
do
Penny do
it.
that? Did she think that that was going
I
to
know
just make
why.
everyone just sort of go, right, yeah, no,
Evacuate.
stop. Everyone calm down. We need to leave very calmly now and in an orderly fashion. That was never going to happen, was it? I think that was her thinking, that it would sort of stop people from panicking, because, fire alarms are famed for their ability to stop you from
Exactly, right?
panicking.
Exactly. This is it. Because you have to do panic prevention things. Because
Yeah.
like if we have a power cut, you you have to stay really calm because actually people can freak out in power cuts more than anything else.
Can I just say,
Really,
I was half expecting the lights all to go out at one point, just to sort of
that
add
would
that
have been
additional,
oh
just to
yeah,
add that additional layer to it. I would have
that
thought
would have
that
been
if I was
even
writing it.
worse. I know, but oh gosh, then again, we won't be able to see out, would we?
No,
We can do
that's
night
true.
vision cameras.
Yeah, just turn it on like they do in the Big Brother house. Just turn everything green and yellow as they do in night vision cams. So all of this sort of came from this rivalry that's sort of been going on between Penny and Chelsea. They've got a carnival night theme going on at Peggy's. And Chelsea and Peggy are sort of at loggerheads. Penny's being like, it's like working for Adolf Hitler, working for Penny at the moment. Like she is basically just snapping at Chelsea and really enjoying this sort of power that she has over her. To the point where Chelsea's like, right, you want to have a successful night, do you? She goes to the computer and addition and like changes the capacity, like so has changes how many tickets they've got left and adds like an extra 100 on top of it or something. Now, presumably, a crush was not what Chelsea was planning on happening at that point.
No.
What she, I mean, what her thinking was based, what was her thinking at that point? Like, what
But
did
this is
she
it, though.
think
What
if her ideal plan had played out, what would have happened?
I think that she was just thinking that people be stood angry on the door, not getting in, and they'd have to like do loads of refunds,
Yeah,
I'm guessing.
because maybe, yeah, because, yeah, I think, and then the club would have ended up losing money. Maybe that was kind of her plan. Because I was thinking that, like, if her thinking was that all of these additional people would be allowed in, but it was just going to make the club insanely busy and it was going to be really, really stressful, she wasn't planning on walking out at that point. So she still would have
No.
to have been on the bar serving them all.
I mean, she did it really impulsively as well, didn't she? She
Yeah, she
saw the
did. Yeah.
opportunity on the computer and just did it. Because really, she should have lowered how many tickets they could sell, and
Yeah.
that would have probably been a better way of doing
Bit
things,
safer,
but
yeah, but she wanted to make things really, really kind of really tough for Penny, didn't she? So the night arrives, but though we should briefly speak about the fire exit. Zach's responsibility was the fire exit. I thought that was established, and Zach was like, "Yeah, I've done the fire exit." Clearly hadn't, because there was like a skip in front of it that they
So
couldn't get out
bad.
of. Really
So
bad.
bad.
See
Like
now.
in any area of any venue that you ever have, you would not have a fire exit block, would you?
This is like setting off a train spotter on the ins and outs of a steam engine. Like you just know it all, don't you?
I do.
So a
Well, I
fire,
do.
I'm guessing before a big event, fire exit, like you check it, you double check it, you triple check it, like so that there's no risk of a fire exit
You
not
just
being available, yeah?
no, yeah, exactly. Like you're responsible for a big, like a large volume of people. You want to make sure everything's safe, don't you? Like,
So the night arrives and people keep coming in and coming in and coming in and coming in. I think the other thing that they had wrong was the fact they had one bouncer on the door, one solitary bouncer in a
well, don't
London
get me started
club.
on that either, Rob. Jesus
Dimitri
Christ. Oh, you look
was,
12. Come on in then,
yeah.
pal.
What was
Oh, you're
that?
Penny's sister. Come on then.
I mean, for a start, right? So you walk in and say, it's all right. I'm 12, right? I walk in and I say, it's all right. I know Ree said I could come. And the bouncer's going to go, all right, in you go then, in you pop. Like, that's not going to happen, really,
Yeah,
is
go through
it?
the main doors into the club where all the
Yeah.
alcohol is. Not
Yeah.
like
You're giving
your
free
little
shots on the
sister's
door,
here
knock
trying to
yourself
get in the
out.
club.
Yeah. So he let in a
But
load of
Penny had that
underage
run
people.
in, didn't she, with him just before. So obviously he was
Yes.
trying to, which is daft though, because he'd still be responsible. But anyway,
Well, this
clearly
is the
just
thing. I
didn't
would have thought
care at that
the
point.
bouncer would have been culpable for quite a bit of what went on. But
Yeah, they
then
are.
the inclination was that the bouncer was just like getting pushed out of the way and it just all turned to absolute chaos as sort of the building became more and more full. And this is what I mean by the intensity of the situation really coming across well, because it was like I was almost feeling, I don't get claustrophobic, but even I was starting to feel a little bit
Yeah,
claustrophobic in.
definitely.
I mean, there was a great video online released about how they'd filmed it all. I was kind of trying to work out how they'd done it. I guessed that like all the in different individual shots of people getting crushed, they would have done sort of individually. So they wouldn't have just crammed 600 people into the Peggy set and gone, right, off you go. Because the problem is, if you're filming a crush, this isn't something like, you know, a car crash or something where you can stick dummies behind the wheel of a car and then go and chuck it off a cliff. This is like, you're filming a crush with people. There's a genuine risk that people might get crushed. You know,
Yeah,
that's
true.
surely a thing. So they've got a, that will have been such an intense, really carefully choreographed sequence to film.
And on camera, things look further apart than they are in real life. So they'd have to put them even closer together just for the camera shots as well, you'd think.
So I'm guessing that all the individual stuff, like the stuff with Kim, that would have just they would have just thrown in about 10 extras in that bit and then sort of just made them sort of dance around a bit, made that bit look full. Same with the thing about Amy being pushed against the grate, that would have like been filmed individually. And then the stuff that was sort of on wider shots, I was wondering if there was sort of like overlays and stuff being involved, you know, like they used to with COVID, where they used to make people look closer together than they actually were. I was wondering if there was a bit of that
Possibly.
going on. So maybe. But it was I yeah, I have no visually I have no complaints about how any of it looked and how it came across. I thought it was so tense and so like it's just really claustrophobic and terrifying. I thought they did that really, really, really well. Because the building gets more and more sort of filled up. And go on.
I was just going to say, but meanwhile, Cindy and Junior,
Oh
completely
yeah, right.
oblivious in the
So let's
office.
talk about Cindy and Junior. These
Love
ridiculous
that. I
they are
mean,
ridiculous human beings, all right? They really are.
are they?
For a start, Cindy, who, honest to God, the amount of migraines that she claims that she's having, it's a wonder she can leave the house.
I know.
She decides to have a little date with Junior at this carnival night, tells Ian, I'm far too ill, I can't possibly spend the rest of your night with you. So goes into the club. Meanwhile, Ian and has been invited there by Alfie, and he's like, well, Cindy's ill, so yeah, sure, why not? So Cindy and Junior are there having this perfectly nice little date together. They realise that half of their family have just walked into the club, so they run into the office.
I
Now,
mean, who'd
instead
have
of
thought that half the family would show up, you know, at this club
you
on the
know, on
square?
the square, just a couple of doors down from where they all live. But then they decide, right, well, I guess we've just got this office to ourselves now. What should we do? Should we escape the club and go somewhere else? No, let's have sex on the desk. Let's move.
It's so on brand though for him,
It's,
isn't it?
for
Come
God's
on.
sake, honest to God. Like, just utterly ridiculous. They are ridiculous human beings. They deserve everything they're going to get come this
Yeah,
revelation,
true.
don't they? They
Yeah.
really,
Yeah,
really
they really
do.
do.
The way that Junior just slid into the office and turned the camera up, pointless doing that because no CCTV camera ever works in Walford, so it
No,
probably turned
of
off
course it
anyway.
doesn't.
But they turned that to the ceiling. I wondered, I don't know if that's going to be referred to again, or is that just a case of like,
I think it was just to show us
just to
that no
show
one's
us,
going to
just
see
to
it.
show us that
Yeah.
Junior knows what he's doing, basically, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So whilst all of his deaf and crushing and stuff is going on just behind the door, they're busy riding each other on the desk of Peggy's. Penny sets the alarm off, which again just sets everybody into even more panic and like
Panic
terror.
mode.
And the fire exit is blocked, so they realize that the only other way that can all quickly get people out is by using the fire exit that's in the office. Now, I'm assuming there is a fire. Is there a fire exit in any of your offices at the bar? Is that a thing?
No, but ours are upstairs, that's why.
Oh, so it's
So
still
it
in
wouldn't work. Our layouts,
staff only areas. Right, okay. The door's locked because Cindy and Junior are busy shagging behind the door. And so Lauren breaks the door down with a fire extinguisher, bursts through because to be fair, they've stopped shagging at this point and they've sort of gone, right, well, let's see what's going
Hang
on
on, why is
here.
everyone banging on
Why
the
is everyone
door?
banging on
Why
the
is
door?
there
What's
something
going
going
on
on out
here?
there?
What that seems a bit noisy outside. What's occurring?
Pull your trousers up, Junior. Come on,
The
something's happening.
door crashes open and Lauren lays eyes on the pair of them in the office together. Just before she gets thrown to the ground
Oh,
and
yeah.
trampled on,
I
basically.
hated that. I hated that.
Again,
It
yeah,
felt
really well
so
done.
real. Yeah,
Do you know
really
how they
well
did?
done.
Do you know how
Yeah,
they
I
did
watched the
that?
behind the scenes after. Yeah. I'm kind of glad that they showed me that because at
Yeah.
what I was genuinely like,
I thought
ooh,
that was
that
so.
looked
I don't know why
nasty.
it amused me so much because it was a really effective shot. I'm not taking the
Yeah.
piss out of that. I just
No, we're
amused me
really good.
how it was done. Like, if you want to
Yeah.
convincingly have a scene of some, it makes me wonder if like any sort of like stamping on someone's head in any horror film ever is achieved this way of literally
Yeah.
you put a bit of jean and a shoe on top of someone's hand and then just press it down and it looks as though it's someone's foot. Who needs
It was
thousands of
really
pounds?
effective, though.
Wasn't
Really
it? Who
effective,
needs
weren't
thousands of pounds to make a stunt look convincing when you can just stick a shoe on your
it?
hand? Really worked, didn't it? So Lauren is sort of unconscious by that. Amy, meanwhile, is being crushed against sort of the side of the great thing and that's in the thing. So she's in trouble. It's all just going to absolute hell. Ambulances arrive. I really like the way that it was sort of spaced out. It wasn't just like this is the crush episode, but not and that's that. We won't talk about that. Like the effects of it were sort of going on throughout the week, like the ambulances and everything, even when it wasn't about the crush, like the George and Kojo stuff. Like you can see the ambulances in the background, the blue lights flashing. Thought that was really nicely done, making it feel like an actual event, you know, rather than
Yeah,
just
definitely.
a random exciting episode. It meant like this was crush week. Paramedics arrive. Lauren and Amy both taken to hospital. Lauren, Amy in a much more serious condition. Amy's having a cardiac arrest as she leaves the club. It's not good for
That's
someone
so
her
bad.
age. That's not good
No,
for someone her
definitely
age at
not.
all. And by the end of the
Nugget
week, she hasn't regained
unscathed, though.
consciousness. Right, nugget clubbing. Maybe I am just completely utterly clueless about kidney dialysis, right?
No.
Is that like, why is he clubbing when he's about to have a kidney, like he's having going through kidney
Well,
dialysis treatment?
to be fair, maybe he went out without the intention of drinking and he's just gone, to be a bit of a cheeky underage drinker. But the fact that he's come out with no injuries and no issues from this crush when he was stood right next to Amy as well.
Well, there was a moment though where he was holding Amy's hand. Did you notice that? So he was
Yes,
up. Yes, I wonder if that's something to keep an eye on in future. Because obviously, it kind of seems like a kind of obvious thing to do with those three, with Denzel and Nugget and Amy,
Amy,
doesn't it?
having a little triangle.
Because the yeah, I think because I feel like the Nugget and Amy sort of dynamic has sort of sparsely been explored a little bit, but not too heavily. But I think
I know what
that
you mean.
might
They'd probably be better suited, to be fair, but I think in
probably.
that moment he was just holding his friend's hand, surely. Like,
Maybe,
and
yeah.
injury could be wrong.
That's because he's such a lovely boy.
He's such
That's
a
because
nice boy,
he's such an
Nugget.
angel,
Well,
is
you think about
Nugget.
what he came in like, though, to be
Yeah,
fair.
he's
He's.
grown. Yeah,
Yeah,
he's...
they all do, though, don't they? They come in like, a bit rough
yeah,
diamond or whatever you call
yeah.
it, and then
This is why we
they
love
gloom.
nugs. That's why I love my nug-nugs. So Jack arrives and doesn't realize that his daughter is sort of dying, effectively. Like she's not well at all. Penny, having been pushed out of her wheelchair, the penny dropped. That's all I could think of when that happened, just that pun, the penny drops.
Perfect.
I'm a bad person. She's been pushed out of her chair. Everyone's sort of bruised and battered, and things are not going well. And it looks like Penny has just done, as Penny's bad management has caused this, and she's allowed like underage people. Even do you know what, even without the crush itself, she's still allowed underage people into the club. She's just, there are elements of blame, I think, to be passed. I know Chelsea was the main cause of it, but there's elements of blame to be passed around quite a few people, isn't there? With Penny, with Zach for the fire exit, with Dimitri for being a rubbish bouncer. You know, there's various kind of elements
I
of
was
blame to be
also
passed around.
thinking that Phil should be getting some, like, because he's
Probably.
responsible for who manages the bar as well. Because,
Yeah.
like, well, having said that, I bet Chelsea was, but you have to have like a personal license so that you know how to run these types of venues as well. There probably wasn't somebody there at the time, Phil. That's your job to make sure there
Was
is,
there
just
any
saying.
first aid? Was there any first aiders there, really? That's something
There you
else as well,
go.
isn't
And
it? Yeah,
that,
I see.
yeah. Oh, look,
Yeah.
I'd be here all day, Rob. Come on, I'd be here all day.
Just wired you up there. I'm just going to mention things that are
Yeah,
wrong in
good,
Peggy's, and
because
it'll
I'm
just
like,
set you off for
well,
hours.
yeah.
So Chelsea's obviously racked with guilt, and her and Penny sort of make up, but Chelsea is just like, how the hell do I get out of this now? So,
Is she going to confess? Is
is
she
she
going
going to
to admit
confess? I
it?
feel like she has to at some point, right?
To Denise, I reckon. But then obviously, with what's happened with Amy as well, will she find it that easy to tell Denise?
I don't
Who
think
would
so.
she
And
tell? Felix, maybe. Her and Felix are quite pally. It'd be nice to
yeah,
hint something, maybe.
maybe. But then at the same time, I feel like I think maybe she might like watch Jack and Penny sort of be ripped apart and realize that she has to. Because the problem is, with it being Jack, I thought there was a few hints that Denise and Jack might get back together this week as well.
Yeah,
Then, because
well,
obviously
yeah.
their divorce arrived, and both of them were sort of having moments where they were trying to be civilized to each other. And then when news of the crush arrived, Denise is there being supportive because she sees Amy and Ricky, and you know,
Yeah.
being that as much as her kids as they are Jack's.
Yeah.
So I wonder actually if Denise is going to be forced to step up. I mean, Denise is going to be busy next week, to
Do you
and
know
it's going
what,
to
as
push them
well?
together again.
I was never a fan of Jack and Denise, and now I'm kind of like, do you know what? I won't mind them getting back together because now I kind of see them as a couple and
It's
as like a
weird, isn't it?
family unit.
I do believe them as a couple, which is because of the effort that this era has put into them, because we didn't even see them get married. So
Oh no.
they've
Oh,
really put the.
you're
Oh,
still
it
not over
annoys
that,
me.
are you,
It
Rob?
annoys me. Like two main regular characters, why
No,
would you
you're
show that off
right.
screen? You know, it's just, especially because the Grey storyline
I
was
knew
taking
you were gonna
prominence.
say
The
that. I knew you were
Grey
gonna say
storyline was
that.
taking prominence over that. It annoyed me. So I do wonder if there's, and I believed Denise and Jack having a conversation about the fact that they basically share children more than I did Jean claiming parentage over the likes of Dana and Aaron last
week.
No,
100%. 100%, actually. Yeah, definitely.
I mean, I got Jean's thinking, but at the same time, it's just like, no.
I didn't know, actually. No. I don't think we mentioned it last week.
No.
But I was like, why are you calling Dana your daughter? You
She's
don't
not
really even know her, do you? Like,
no, I barely met. And especially, oh, you want to be Aaron's mum, do you, Jean? Yeah, crack on then, love.
He didn't want to be his dad.
No,
so
good luck with that. So yeah, I reckon that this is going to be a long old journey for Chelsea, actually, because it's like, how does she? Yeah, I'm kind of like, she's going to have to be watching Denise and Jack, I think, slowly becoming closer, and Amy being. I mean, Amy's stable at the moment, but she's not exactly out of the woods. I don't think Amy's going to die or anything like that, but.
No.
Her and Penny are going to have to, Penny's going to get the blame for all this, and Jack's going to keep pushing Penny away, I think is what's going to happen. And Chelsea's guilt is going to overcome her from that.
I don't think it'll be that long that she keeps it secret, actually, Chelsea. I think she'll feel too guilty and blurt it out to someone sooner rather than later, I think. But then again, I don't know, because they're trying to make it look like Penny's going to get into some serious trouble for it, aren't they?
Well, this is the thing, legally.
Did she do it on, though? Remember Penny was, like, trying to log back onto her account? And then Chelsea was like, if yours is blocked, you can't get on mine.
I mean, it's probably Penny's that it was on at the time. Yeah. But you're right. Penny is in legal trouble because the police are going to be like, you basically caused this. Mm-hmm. Jack is sort of so angry with Penny because of what's happened with Amy. And those two are basically...
And Lauren as well. Yeah.
Lauren, yeah, who, by the way, Lauren with this whole Cindy and Junior thing, watch this space with that. She's seen it. That's going to be that's the wheels in motion for that all coming out, starting to move, isn't it?
And the moment where Lauren had that conversation with Junior, she'll put two and two together.
Yeah, he said an older lady who's married. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is the wheels in motion for that starting. So maybe next week or the following week they'll say. I don't know how long Lauren's going to be in hospital for. It's Warford General, so probably in the next 5 minutes she'll be released. But still,
be out on Monday.
Yeah, I expect so. Yeah, I mean, to be fair, Lauren's quite injured. I think she's got broken
really
ribs and a punctured lung or something like that.
Yeah,
so that's
really extreme. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, thinking that could happen. So
crazy. So yeah, in conclusion. Craziness at Peggy's, and bar the odd sort of oddity that will have annoyed you as a bar owner. Enjoyable and really intense and really well done, I thought. I mean, yes, there was moments of it that you sort of had to suspend your disbelief for slightly, I think, but name a storyline where that doesn't happen. Really well done.
Are there going to be any deaths?
I don't think so.
There were rumour. No, they said, I think it'll be somebody who we don't know, though.
Those two random lads.
They said they were too critical. What, you think the uni lad, the lads who Ivani were talking to?
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
You reckon?
What was the point in them?
I think that was just so that you could see why Ivani were trying to get in underage and stuff.
I just say, Ivani is going to be a nightmare when she gets older. She really is.
She's only meant to be like 13 now, isn't she?
Yeah.
Which is a bit ridiculous because she's 13.
I think she's about Nuggets age, 13? Maybe a little bit. I think she's about 14, 15, something like that.
She's meant to be a year younger than Nuggets.
Yeah.
And they haven't done their GCSEs yet.
No, I think Nuggets, I think Nuggets 15, 16. So I think Ivani's about 14.
14, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
To be fair, I went to my first club when I was 14.
That's not the bit. It's just that Ivani doesn't look it like. No. The actress doesn't look that young, I'm sorry.
And the character doesn't act like she's 14 because she's flirting with everybody, including like Martin and all that kind of thing. Like she's going to be a nightmare as she gets older. Priya is in for a road of hell with that girl, let me tell you.
Karma, Priya.
Yes. So, big old week. Who's your gold star going to? I have no idea right off this moment.
I was struggling because obviously in the Crush storyline, I don't feel like there's anyone... to give it to. So I'm actually going to go for George this week.
Oh, okay.
Because I think you're a really good brother. I was impressed with George. I've started warming to George a lot more recently.
Oh, yeah, okay, I understand that.
Rob, we do this every week. How have you not thought of who your gold star's going to?
Chelsea.
Chelsea, what for causing all that?
Yeah, it was a great week. Cheers,
right.
Chelsea. Love that.
Yeah, I know. Fair. All right.
Let us know who your gold star is going to in the comment section below. Let's have a final look, as we do at the end of every podcast, with your opinions on this week's EastEnders.
On to the comments then, Rob. We've got one from our Instagram page from David O'Hildre, who says, the scene of the two brothers bonding in the cafe was very sweet. And just like Kwame, I learned something from Kojo's knowledge of London taxis.
There you go. Yeah, so did
we. We all did, didn't we?
So did we. We all learned something about London taxis this week. Yeah, though, I think that was a sort of the general consensus of that scene, that it was just really sweetly done, very well done. I'm really, really looking forward to seeing how this whole thing with Kojo plays out over the coming weeks. Do you think he's going to be sticking around, or do you reckon he's just a guest character?
I was just thinking, I can't see him staying in the Queen Vic permanently. His character is going to be a bit too much amongst all those other people living there. Maybe if it was him, George and Elaine just living together, it wouldn't be as bad. Well, not bad, but you know what I mean. When you've got all those people in the mix.
Do you reckon Cabina will be moving to do you reckon they're moving into Walford eventually at some point? I don't know.
I can't decide if they're permanent or not.
It depends, I think, on what direction they take Cabina in, as to whether he's a dark character or not. I'm unsure. I'm very unsure. Harwin Hughes, hope I pronounced that right, said about the Crush episodes, dare I say my favourite EastEnders episode of 2024. Had everything. Drama, family, secrets, community, and cliffhangers. Yes, one thing we didn't mention about was the community feel of those episodes. Like the calf being opened, and the Vic, and like people being handed out whiskies, and just that general feeling of community.
Free teas
and everything. Yeah, there was that, which I think you've just come to accept from this era at the moment. The community feel has been such a priority for them to sort of bring back to the show, that when an event like this happens, it really feels like these are a group of people that know and care about each other to varying degrees, that have had this horrific event happen in front of them, and then they can just deal with it and help each other is pretty good. And yeah, the cliffhanger on Monday I thought was amazing. Like, I was generally like, how the hell is this gonna, how did they get out of this? This is madness. Like, yeah, really, really, really good.
We've got an email from James. He says, hi, Rob and Ray. I just wanted to say that I agree with you that Penny isn't the most likable character. She's definitely one I understand and think is very much needed. With all the strife that Penny has gone through in her being made disabled by her own father, who doesn't seem to give a damn about her, it explains why she seems so resentful. Not that it excuses her bad behaviour, but it's definitely an explanation. I used to be in the not liking Penny camp, but now I realise not every soap character is supposed to be likeable. I'm actually glad we've got a character that's not a villain, but not exactly that nice of a person. I think it's nice to have more complex characters. I really hope one day Penny lays it on thick on Jack about how his abandonment and blatant favouritism has affected her. It's clear Jack never wanted Penny back in his life so he could forget about what he did to her. James.
Yeah, really interesting stuff there. Yeah, to be honest, I thought Penny had a really, really good week. I thought Penny's been a bit quiet since she sort of arrived, I thought. So it's nice to have Penny getting stuff to do. I think Kitty Castledine is great, actually. I think she plays Penny really, really, really well. Yeah. She had a great week this week. She really did. And those scenes between her and Jack were really quite intense. And I think what will be brought up at some point is that Jack is sort of responsible for the reason that she's in a wheelchair, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So it's no wonder she's a bit bitter in life.
Yeah,
wouldn't
you be?
Like James has said in that email as well, like, it's clear he's not really tried to make an effort with her either. He just kind of wanted to forget about her.
But and for him to then turn around to her and say, well, you always let me down. So yeah, if given the choice, I'd have you in that bed instead of Amy. That's madness to say to your own daughter.
Yeah, that is harsh. I mean, he's angry in the moment and also thinks that it's Penny's
fault.
That
branning way where they just think before they speak in a situation like that. I get it. And Jack has become more and more like Max as he's gotten older, I think. Not necessarily the sort of the shagging around aspect that Max used to do.
Slate a bit,
but that sort of, like, because Max could be absolutely horrible when he wanted to be, couldn't he? And I think Jack's sort of evolving a little bit into that, a little bit, if I'm honest. We have another comment from Kathy Vernon Kettner, who says there are a number of big storylines happening this week. EastEnders has the writers and the actors all stepping up and putting on an exciting and interesting show. Well done, and thank you. And I tell you what, Kathy, you wait till next week, because the six are the stars of the show again next week.
Yes.
What I will say, the picture, I've seen pictures of them in courts, and they're all wearing their colours.
Oh, are they wearing the colours again? Yeah. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Who'd have thought we'd still be talking about the Six
Those
this
colours
much
and those
as
colours
well? Like
still.
this far down the line, like all last year, we were just spent the year speculating about him.
The colours thing is so iconic, though, is it? It was just a simple idea that just works
Very.
so well. That those I genuinely think actually that those characters are going to just be associated with that color long after the storyline's finished. Like every time we see Stacy in red, for example, it will remind us of the Six storyline. So
Well,
it's
it's funny because Sharon were wearing the like royal blue color that we associate with Suki
Suki,
as well
yeah.
this week, and I'm like, oh, why
See,
is Sharon wearing Suki's
exactly.
color?
Everybody was sort of in theory mode again this week whenever any of the Six walked on screen, because I noticed that Stacy was on that last scene. Stacy was in her red dress, but not the red dress, but she was in red.
I read. Yeah.
Sharon was wearing Suki's color.
Yeah.
Linda was in her pink color.
Standard.
So something maybe that's do you know what I mean? They
Oh,
could
just no,
play around with our
because
minds with this color thing. They
Sharon's
really.
allowed to wear blue if she wants to. Come
Yeah.
on. But I know it's just what his brain does now, isn't
Our
it?
brains have screwed with these color schemes now. So there we are. So I cannot wait for next week. We hope you will join us there. We will be discussing the fallout of the Trial of the Six. Bring it on. And you can send all your comments and your questions and everything you've got to say to us via these methods.
You can find us on Facebook at Albert Square After Dark, on X and Instagram at E20 After
Shut
Dark.
up,
If you're
Twitter,
watching on
Twitter.
YouTube, don't forget to like and subscribe. You can listen to us on Apple and all your favorite podcast sites. Drop us an email at e20afterdarkpodcast@gmail.com. And if you'd like to buy us a coffee, you can do so by going on buymeacoffee.com/e20afterdark. I just said it to wind you up, Rob.
Shut
Just
up.
said it to
Nobody
wind you up.
other than Musk himself calls it X. Jesus. Right. Yeah. We'll see you this time next week. It's gonna be good. It's gonna be good. Until then, it's goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
See you next week. Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.